open up your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the third chapter. Oh, yeah, we just going to have to work with this one. Amen. The third chapter. Amen. My goodness. There's so many things that's going on in the earth that affects what's going on in our lives. In our country, in our city, in our world, that sometimes you just want to ask yourself, dear Lord, where are you? But he's everywhere. The good thing about God, that he gave us our own free will and volition, meaning that he gave us the ability to create good or to create evil. Well, some decide to create good, and some have decided to create evil. The problem is, no one wants to accept responsibility for their own actions. I know you saw the news yesterday where the two young men got into a gunfight, and who was affected? A three-year-old girl, three-year-old baby. She's doing nothing, just trying to live her life. Most people that die from these gunfights are innocents. People just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And how will you ever know you were in the wrong place at the wrong time? Amen. You just don't know.
Amen.
So we have to remember, and we have to talk to ourselves, and we have to not let these things separate us from the things of God.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, with everything that I've been through, nothing shall separate me from the love of God.
That's right.
And in most cases, that's what a lot of these things are intended to do. In the third chapter of the book of Galatians, it says, O foolish Galatians. My goodness. The word foolish in the Greek means senseless, meaning that you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. You've given up that which God has showed you. Or it can also be translated sensual. When the word is translated sensual, that means that you've given yourself over to yourself. So therefore, you do what you want to do instead of what God's word tells you to do. A lot of that is going on. It says, who hath bewitched you? I like the meaning of this word because it says, who has fascinated you? A lot of folks leave God because they are fascinated by some other prophet. Prophetess, evangelist, teacher, church. They're fascinated. And when you become fascinated with people, you lose the one thing that God has given you. Your ability to stay focused and to be steadfast and unmovable in God.
Amen. Amen.
Most folks go to churches because they are fascinated with the person of that church. Amen. So we have to remember that we have to allow Jesus to be our fascination.
Amen.
Because we don't want to be a lot of folks get messed up with false representation. We don't even want to get into that one. For instance, 2020, Jesus gonna be in the mountains. Now we just on Facebook. Somebody gonna remember that. And they're going to run to the mountaintop, Brother Andy. Because they think Jesus is going to be there. But he's not. We are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Instead of looking for Jesus on the inside of us, the Bible says, he says, I have come to give you life and to give it you more abundantly. The word abundant means overcome, overwhelming. Well, if we don't recognize that he's in us, then there's nothing to overwhelm us. Ain't that right, Brother Tony?
Amen.
I like for Jesus to overwhelm me. Because I'd be needed, brother. You know, he says, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set before you, or talking about a place and time. And I've seen that happen dozens of times. I've seen God heal people, deliver them and set them free, make their lives 100% better. And because they become fascinated with something other than that which is God, they change their whole concept.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. If God healed you of a heart attack, what would make you want to become Jehovah's Witness? What would? Except for what? Fascination. Some type of fascination would fascinate you. Or you heard a word that just ate you up and you just couldn't take it. Let's try this. Maybe I'll put it on the other side. I like it when they can be moved. Now how's that?
Better. Thank you, Jesus. There you go.
Wisdom. A little child, they say wisdom comes with age. So.
Amen.
Nevertheless, that you should not obey or do that, the word obey means to believe or to have confidence or to yield in. If God done bless me, you can't teach me. You can't trick me. You can't fascinate me. There's nothing that you can do to me gonna make me think that God ain't God.
Come on now. Amen. Amen.
There ain't nothing I can think or imagine that's gonna make me think that God ain't God. I know what God's done brought me through. I know how He's done delivered me. I know how He's given me peace in my mind where there shouldn't have been any there. I know who He is. Therefore, anything that will try to come to separate me away from God, you might as well go on and get. There's so much stuff going on in our churches
yes.
today.
Yes.
Folks splitting churches
yes.
over reckless conversation.
Yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They Pastor Cheek said, he said, you cold-blooded, Pastor. I said, how come I gotta be cold-blooded? Because Pastor Keyes said, I know he's coming from work. And he was sitting on the back row. He don't mind. They don't pay me no attention anyway. So he was sitting in the back row. And I just happened to look back there and see him sitting back there. And I said, Pastor Keyes? He said, yes, sir. I said, don't you think you're sitting in the wrong seat? He says, I got here late, but yes, sir. He packed up all his stuff, moved up to the platform, and never said another word. Pastor Cheeks looked at me and he said, you cold-blooded? I said, no, I'm not cold-blooded. If you deal with a situation when it's a situation, it don't become a problem.
Amen.
He know how much I love him. But he knows what we've been taught.
Yes.
And if we don't stand on what we've been taught, we might as well be foolish Galatians.
Come on now.
Or foolish libertarian. Yeah, y'all know. Y'all got it. You know how I'm trying to say. If you don't talk to me after church. Amen. So evidently set forth crucified. The word is said, goes on to say among you. But in the original writings, the word among you is not there. It just says set forth crucified. Jesus was what?
Crucified.
He was crucified.
Yeah.
And it's just not talking about dying on the cross. when it talks about being crucified, it talks about everything that he went through to get to that point. The false accusations, the lying and the persecution and the beatings and the whippings and all the very things. And then the fact that he stood there in the midst of all that and never opened up his mouth to defend himself one time. How many times have you done that? That's what it means to be just crucified. Crucified means you have to crucify your flesh. That means you have to kill your flesh. To dominate your flesh with the power of the living word. You've got to bring it under subjection to the authority of the word of God. And a lot of times it's not going to be easy. It will not be easy. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. We know the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by
the word of God.
So what he's saying is, did you look, do you know what you know by the word of God, or are you still trying to live according to something that you can't live according to? In most cases, most preachers you listen to, they don't preach out of the epistles. They preach out of the Old Testament or the Gospels. The epistles tell you how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to carry yourself, how you're supposed to love one another, how you're supposed to care about each other, how you're supposed to direct yourself. That's what it's teaching us, but folks don't want to be taught. The Bible says you must have a teachable spirit.
Right.
You can't have a teachable spirit if you want to keep going back to the Nehemiah. Now I preach out of Nehemiah, but God has taught me how to align Nehemiah with that, with Ephesians.
Come on now. Amen.
Because it's all one word.
Amen.
He says the works of the law. And when you talk about works, it's talking about that which you do with your inner part or your inner man, your walk or your talk, the integrity or the character or the nature of God that is in you. And then he goes, and then it dawned on him, because I wasn't there, thank God. Didn't see it or say, but I can only imagine that he looked at their faces, and when he looked at their faces, it made him look at them and say, can you be so foolish? Can you possibly... Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish, having begun in the things of God, seeing the works of God, seeing what God has done, seeing what he's doing? Are you so senseless, or are you so mind-boggled in your mind that you would change your concepts and the truth of God into a lie?
My Lord.
The word of God says, love your brother. You don't want to love your brother. Pray for them pray for them that talk about you without ceasing. You don't want to do it.
My Lord.
So if that's you, foolish. But now you done got so uppity and so high-minded in yourself, and you think you are so great and so anointed, that you think you've been made perfect by your flesh.
My Lord.
Not knowing that the word perfect don't mean that you are perfect. It just means that you have got so placed, got so authoritative and so high-minded that your maturity level.
Amen.
And the word by means through. Translated through. So now you've acclimated yourself into a point where now you are perfect or mature unto yourself through your own flesh. I need a log, God. I'm about to drown. Help me. Send me some help, Lord. Whoever comes along, Brother Little John.
You grab the log, realize you're saved. Hey, God! Don't worry about it. I got it already. Some of us been there. We ain't never gonna tell nobody about it. We won't admit, but we've been there. Look at here, I've been there. Amen. Hallelujah. Have he suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, what? How many kids in here today? Y'all messing me up. I can't make it plain. Listen to me. Listen to me. Have you been through so many things in your life for no reason? Have you been persecuted for no reason?
Yes.
Have you been broke for no reason?
Yep.
Have you been downtrodden for no reason?
Yeah.
Have you been sick for no reason?
Yeah.
Amen.
Do me a favor. Take this mic. Go back there and smack El Sean in the head. He'll be all right. And mom will be glad.
That's the message.
You know why? Because you're supposed to learn from everything you go through. That's why. If you go through a sickness, you're supposed to learn from it. If you're persecuted, you're supposed to learn from it. If you catching the blues on your job, you're supposed to learn from it.
Amen.
If you have trouble in your with your thoughts and your ideas and your principles, you are supposed to learn from it. Everything you go through in your life is a learning experience. That's what keeps us from being senseless and foolish. That's what keeps us lined up with God.
Amen.
If you haven't learned from the things that you've gone through, then you have just wasted your time. That's why Paul said, knuckleheads, you think y'all have been through all this and has it just been in vain? You haven't learned anything from what you've been through?
My Lord.
You haven't learned anything from persecuting one another?
My Lord.
Talking about one another? Stealing from one another? Hating on one another? Being envious from one another? You haven't learned anything from that? My Bible tells me, be not deceived, God not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also
reap.
It's coming back home. So you better be careful. Once we get saved and born again, and we can jump a little bit, we think we have the right to say whatever we want to say.
Come on, Pastor. Tell the truth.
Look down on people. Because they ain't got what you got. Okay, let me get back up in here. Glory to God. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Pastor Hart believed by faith. He'll tell you in a heartbeat, I don't care if you ain't got enough faith, I got enough faith for you. The greatest thing he ever said that stuck to my life, that influenced me, was when he made a statement. I guarantee you, it wasn't 10 people in the whole audience paying attention to what he said when he talked about miracles. He said, I'm going to tell y'all what a miracle is. And I listened because he said, I'm going to tell you what a miracle is, not because of what I read in the dictionary. Not because of what somebody told me, but I'm going to tell you what a miracle is because of what I've been through. He said a miracle is when God himself comes down and intervenes into the affairs of mankind. That's what a miracle is. has stuck with me. So that means if I have faith in God, and my understanding is in God, whether you have enough faith to believe it or not, I got it for you. And it ain't me, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Son, we're going to close out. I'm trying to sound like Pastor Keys and them now. Go to Philippians. They don't mind me messing with them. Amen. Bless you. Go to book of Philippians, the third chapter. This is why Paul made the statement, why he was asking them, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who have you allowed to trick you or seduce you into doing the things that you're doing after you've seen the work of God, after you've seen what Jesus could do? Who would you do?" In Philippians, the third chapter and the seventh verse, you say, "Well, Pastor Gardner, what's that got to do with?" Because this is, it lines up with this. 3 and 7. "But what things were gained to me, those that count as loss for Christ."
Yes.
"Anything that I thought did made me feel good, I missed out on God."
Yeah, right, right, right.
Amen. God just blessed me with $100,000. I didn't give God 10% of it.
My Lord.
You should have saw me the other day. That store, right? And I come out and I kept seeing somebody that just took a whole handful of pennies and just threw them all over the lot. I'm picking the pennies up. I picked so many pennies up, my back started hurting, Jack. I had to go lean up against the car for a few minutes. Take a deep breath, and I went back to picking up pennies. I must have picked up 70 pennies. And then I got smart. Just Angie. I got in my car and rolled up on them and opened up the door and reached out and started getting By the time I got to picking up pennies, I had picked up $1.30. Man, bye. I'd have been out there all day picking up pennies. Then I said, "Lord, I better save some for somebody that's going to need them too." You have to ask yourself, that's senseless. Why would you take that many pennies and just go out and just throw them in the parking lot? Just give them to somebody. Hey, man, can you use these? Because there's always somebody out there asking, "Got me change this, man?"
Right. Right.
Yeah, I'll tell them in a heartbeat, "I can't spare it, but if you need it, they give it to you." I can't spare my 50 cents. But if you need it, you can have it. I told the guy, I said, "Stop asking folks if they can spare something. Just ask them for it. It ain't like you're going to do with it what you say you're going to do with it anyway." "Hey, bro, you got 50 cents?" "Yeah, I got 50 cents. Here." "Hey, bro, you got 50 cents you can spare now?" "But what things were gained, anything that gained me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Remember, we've taught you how there's a difference. When you're talking about Jesus Christ, we're talking about the salvation of Jesus. When you're talking about Christ Jesus, you're talking about the resurrected Christ.
Yeah.
Right. It makes a difference. It changes the old intent and Amen. Content of the message.
Amen. Amen.
He says the knowledge or the understanding or the wisdom that which I need, that which I need to get through, the excellency or the power, the excelling of it.
Ooh, Jesus. Come on now.
for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. The word dung means what is thrown to dogs. So he's saying, what I've been through, it ain't that bad. It's like just throwing it to dogs or pigeons. Pigeons that took over dogs. Pigeons and seagulls. Amen. I suffered the loss of all things. Sometimes it means you're going to suffer some loss.
Amen.
And it ain't always talking about your finances. Sometimes it's talking about your pain and your mindset and things you have to deal with, your joy and pain and ridicule. These are things that we suffer sometimes. But it don't matter, because we realize this one fact, and it is scriptural. The joy of the Lord is my
strength.
And my strength maintained them is manifested in my joy. So if I suffer something for Jesus,
and
I still have the joy of the Lord,
all right.
It's just a part of the life that God has called me to live.
Amen.
My goodness. We have living, breathing, walking testimonies.
And
folks talking about miracles. You wouldn't believe the folks that come against us, because you ain't doing miracles like Pastor Hart. You ain't been to the church to see what a miracle is.
My Lord, my Lord.
My name ain't Pastor Ralph Leon Hart. My name is Dennis Lee Gardner.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You can look all over this building and see miracles.
Amen.
That's right.
Them that have been done and them that are still being performed.
Amen.
Now, if you just don't want to come to church, stay home. Get what you're going to get from TV. Be nice, Pastor. But done, that I may what? Win Christ. I've had to get rid of some stuff in my life. I've had to throw some attitudes and some dispositions, like I throw it to a dog, like a dung, getting rid of it, because it was separating me from winning Christ.
Amen.
From living for Christ.
Amen.
It says win Christ. When it talks about win Christ, that means that you gravitate to Christ.
Amen.
One day we are going to realize who we are in God. One day we're going to realize that we are a body of believers. And as long as we work together, we pray together, we believe together,
come on, Pastor.
That scripture going to come to reality. That says one can put 1,000 in flight, but how many can put 2 do?
10,000.
Come on. Can you see the jump?
My Lord.
But we got our minds so made up that we got this thing covered. I wish I did have it covered. Oh, Lord Jesus. But we're forever growing.
Yes, Lord.
And maturing in the things of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So that I may win Christ. And you notice it doesn't say Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. It just says, I may win Christ. There's a reason it says I may win Christ. When it talks about that I may win Christ, it's saying that I might have the anointing of Christ. Because the word Christ means what? The anointed one. Amen. When you win something, you're in a race for it. You're in a battle for it. You're in a fight for it. In order to win it, you just can't sit there and wait to come slap with you in the head or sit next to you and say, here I am, I got you now. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, you see that? Being found where?
In
him. How can you find me in Christ? It's easy, actually.
Yeah.
You can find me in Christ Because I love you in spite of you.
Amen.
I care about you in spite of you.
Amen.
I'm going to pray for you in spite of you.
Right.
I'm going to stand with you in spite of you.
Yeah.
That's how you can find me in Christ.
Come on now.
You can't find me in Christ because I got a big bumper sticker on the back of my car that says, Bob, if you love Jesus.
Come on, Pastor.
You can find Christ in me if you can search my heart and see that there's something different in me that elevates me to a point in God that says, I love you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Not my own righteousness. We know that righteousness means having being right standing with God. Well, it's better to be right standing with God than be right standing with yourself. Everything time I thought I was right standing in myself, found myself picking myself up off the floor, Mother Relaford. Because when you get in those situations, there ain't many people there to help you. In most cases, they like for you to stay there. You one less they got to worry about. Amen. For instance, you know, me and my wife both, and when they found out that I was done for the season, you thought people would have been saying, oh, poor Dennis, poor Rib. They were excited, Sister Heidi. You done for the season? Right, yeah. It's like, we couldn't have got a damn lesson. But we was killing them. Oh, you done for real? I saw a guy yesterday. He says, Rev, how you feel? I said, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm coming along. He said, you're not finna start bowling back today, are you? I go, well, no. He said, well, okay. You just relax and take care of yourself. Now he can start. I'm telling you, folks, is something else. My own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by what?
Faith.
Why is it so important that it's by faith? Because you cannot please God without it. And you don't have to prove it to nobody. Because God gonna search the intents of your heart. And God knows whether you have true faith or not.
Amen, amen, amen. My Lord, thank you.
I don't like to build people up, and I'm not trying to build anybody up, but this is a miracle of God.
Amen.
Right. You say, well, all he did was put screws in it. He had to find the stuff. He had to find somebody to bend it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Then he had to figure out how to get it down into the ground so that it would stay.
Yes.
What's the miracle behind this? Because he don't feel good all the time.
Oh, my Lord.
But he did it anyway. And I'm always standing in the way. Well, Brother Little John, you sure you feel like doing that today? You positive? You know, here I think I'm helping him. When in actuality, I'm slowing him down. He got a work to do. And I'm going, you sure you feel like doing it today?
Yep. Exactly.
One time I was expecting to say, man, you better go get out of my way. Let me do what God called me to do. I know he wanted to, but he respected me, so he didn't do it. Amen. When you've got a work to do in God, you've got to do it all the way to the end.
Amen.
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 Let me tell you how powerful the anointing is. The only time my knee don't bother me is when I'm up here preaching. I ought to do it 24 hours a day. And I can preach to her. I can preach to him. I can preach to her. I can preach to him. Y'all need 24 people. Y'all, each one of y'all get six. We need 24 people. She's all about it. Listen to this. I go through all this stuff. I deal with all this stuff. I try to keep from being senseless and a foolish Galatian or libertarian or whatever we want to call ourselves. I'm trying to keep from being all that stuff for this one reason, that I may know him. The word know don't mean that you know him personally. The word know means that you understand him. You understand what this is all about. Him and the power or the force of his resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to this. The Greek reading, I know a lot of preachers say that's too much. We don't want to hear with all that Greek and all that Hebrew. That's why you just get what they want you to get. That I may know him and the power. The word power means force or miraculous power. Amen. Of his resurrection. The word resurrection is translated a recovery. A moral recovery of spiritual truth. The moral recovery of spiritual truth. When Jesus laid in the tomb, guess what he had? A revelation. A moral recovery of spiritual truth. He was reminded. My father said I was going to rise
in
3 days. Yes. Guess what it is? Yes. It's the third day. It's time to get moving. Yes. And the rock rolled back.
Hallelujah.
Dusted off his clothes.
Yeah.
Then he had to go around and prove to folks that he was the Christ.
Yeah.
Here, see the nails? See the holes in my hands? God didn't close them up. It's me. What does that mean? A lack of faith. Man, he walked up on me and he put his hands up and I saw hit holes going through his nails. He'd have had to beat me off of him. I mean, literally beat me off of him. Even how can somebody get this joker off of me? Because when I ascend, he can't go. I'll be like, well, we're going to find out. Amen. And the fellowship of his what? Suffering. Something he undergone. Something, a hardship or a pain that he had to deal with. Being made conformable or partnership unto his death. If by any means I might attain or simulate unto the resurrection or assimilate to the point where I recognize that I don't have to stay dead in trespasses and sin, yes, but I can rise, yes, and call him my Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Ain't no way in the world I was perfect or I'm mature to that point, but I follow after if that I might apprehend or understand that which was also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Yeah. That when I see myself, I can see Christ in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, we'll give you that right. Jesus said it. Let's make it simple. These things after you shall do and you shall do also. Jesus said what? When you see me, you see my. When you see my Father, you see. And when folks was looking at Jesus, they didn't see his Father. See, the difference between us, when you look at Sam, you see Heidi, or you see your father, Gary. You see one of them. But when you look at Jesus, no man has ever seen the Father. So how do you know what he looks like?
Amen.
Quiet up in here. You want to know what he he looks like? The character and the nature of the man who he said was representing the Father. What did Jesus do? He loved everybody. He cared about everybody. He demonstrated what the Father said this was, that the kingdom of God was at hand. What he was saying was, my Father has sent me down here to do a work that you don't have to always live according to your sin, but you can be reconciled back unto the Father through the blood that I'm about to shed for you. And you know what's so good about it? Whether you accept me or not, it's going to come a day when you're going to holler out, Jesus.
Come on now.
So therefore, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before me. Baby, you got some stuff in your life you got to let go. Because it'll hold you back. Ask me how I know. And it's not always what somebody's done to you. It's what you've done to yourself.
Say it.
Making you think that you're less of who you are in God. Paul said, look here, I had to forget that stuff behind me.
Come on now.
Look at the things I have done.
Amen.
To Christians.
Amen.
If I keep allowing that to remind me of who I was and what I did, how can I ever do what God wants me to do?
Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
He said, look here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Before. What's in front of us? What you see. What you sense. If you see trouble in front of you, then you got trouble. If you see the power and the works and the love of God in front of you, then that's what you run after.
My Lord, my
Amen.
Lord.
He said, I press toward the mark. And when you go back to the word reaching forward, that means to stretch oneself. That means you've got to take yourself and stretch yourself out there. When the enemy or when things tell you that you can't accomplish stuff, you've got to make yourself make it happen.
Amen.
And how do you do it? Because I can do all things.
Yes.
Through Christ that strengthens me. The word strengthen means to enable. He has enabled me.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he is. So I'm pressing.
Amen.
Toward the mark.
Amen. Yes.
For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm pressing.
Yes.
That means I'm dealing with it. I'm putting up with it.
Yeah.
I'm fighting against it.
Yeah.
I'm bringing things under subjection to the power of God so that I can do what? I can reach the prize. And the prize is an award. What is the award? The award is the Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Amen.
The ability to call those things that were as though, man, come on, we got to get this thing together. And we got to let not just our other folks know, we got to let ourselves know.
Yeah.
We've been called, baptized, separated, called unto God. I need you to tell me who I am in God. If I need you to tell me, then I might as well quit. You don't know who you are. I'm pressing. There's a calling in God that I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Where there's a call, there's a place in God, there's a time in God, there's a season in God that I need to get to. And there's only one way to get there, and that's to press through the trial, press through the pain, press through the agony, press through the discouragement, press through the hatred, press through the encouragement, press through that. Oh my goodness, I've got to press my way. I've got to go through whatever it is. My God. High, it means upward. And what does it say? A lot of the older gentlemen always say in Christ, they always say, son, remember this. Your attitude will determine your altitude. So if you got a bad attitude, you ain't going nowhere. And as long as you keep having trust and confidence in yourself, you gonna keep on. I'm done. I press toward the mark. I'm trying to get that. I want that prize. I want that award that God has for me. And I got to lose some stuff out of my mind so I can reach and get to it. Hey, son, how'd it go? That was a quick one. I'm pressing. My God, I'm pressing. I'm pressing. Brother Andy, when you had your heart attack, you pressed your way through it. Amen. Brother Larry, when they said he wasn't going to make it, didn't give it no reason to make it, he pressed his way through it. With Brother Little John, I remember the Wednesday morning you were sitting here and your problem erected and you was afraid, I was afraid, but you pressed your way through it. Brother Russell, you pressed your way through it. We have pressed our way through it. Sister Franklin, y'all don't know what she's been going through. She's been going through a living hockey sticks. But God gave her favor and money. You know what? You about to be a single man for the rest of your life. I had them moving chairs off the platform in the month. I only want one chair on this platform, not two. I don't want to give nobody no ideas. But you know what I found out? When you make up in your mind that you're going to press your way through whatever it is you're going to press your way through, God got somebody sitting there waiting on you. And you know it. You know it. I didn't need Pastor Keys to tell me. He wouldn't have anyway. I didn't need Pastor Bell to tell me. He wouldn't have anyway. I didn't need some Sherry Pastor needs to tell me, they would tell me. That's a totally different story, them two. But I mean, understand what I'm saying. We are a gift of God. Each and every one of us are a gift of God. And God has given us something that we have to use.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, they have a saying, we have all these different sayings, if you don't use it, you lose it. No, I disagree with that. If you don't use it, you forget what it's there for. That's like having a beautiful 1957 Impala sitting in your driveway. And you decide you ain't never gonna drive it because it looks fabulous. Some Somebody say, why are you picking hell out? Just love and counts. Now all of a sudden you piling stuff up in it. I ain't got no storage room. Now you storing stuff in your pallet. Now you got flower pots sitting on top of it. Guess what you done? Forgot what you had.
Amen.
Just bring out and throw that thing into the ground. Which what I usually do, or somebody help me get it there. They need to invent something so when you park your car, it raises it up. So you don't have to worry about coming out if you got some big dent or big pump in your door. Everybody stand.